And I told our 2 years ago, Psalm chapter 42 is where I'm going to be, Psalm 42. 2 years ago, we went, and it's like, you know, I kind of usually work on my outlines on Thursday and Friday. I like to. Sometimes I got that mulligan day there, Saturday, if I don't get it done. And I got Sunday or Friday morning, I was getting an outline together, and normally that might be the Sunday night outline. And I thought, well, no, I'm going to preach this on Sunday morning. I like this better. And without fail, 2 years ago, the guy, when he got preaching, it wasn't the same title or topic, but the text and what they talked about was, I said, man, this is just like what, it's the same stuff that I have. So this time we're sitting there again, I couldn't believe it. Not all the points, but when Cody Zorn was preaching, I said, it's just like what I wanted to talk about, this same stuff. I said, it's amazing. It just shows you how God knows what we need to hear and all those things. And so, we'll put it in God's hands. Amen. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God in the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the testimonies we heard this morning and for Janiyah just making sure she was saved. Lord, feeling like she wasn't, and Lord, so thankful that she went forward and called on your name, along with those others that were there that made sure that they were saved. They needed you, Lord. They came to you, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And that's our prayer always as the word goes forth, that we know you speak to hearts anywhere, anytime, any place, Lord, and particularly when the word is preached, and we pray for salvation of those here. Maybe that's not sure if they're saved, really, if they died, if they're going to have a home with you. And Lord, if they don't have you living in them today, Lord, don't have spiritual life. Lord, we pray for those ones here that may realize that, Lord. And we know we're not here by accident. We don't come just to be entertained, Lord, but we come for you to speak to us. And I pray that you do. And I pray for each one here that they listen, Lord, to what you say to them by your Holy Spirit, Lord, where you speak to their hearts. And we'll put the results here in your hands and ask it all and thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't get with William on the notes. He might be able to operate on the fly. But desiring spiritual growth is what I just put on the title there. But I guess I could have named it different things. But we see in our text in verse 1, the Bible says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. You might know this, maybe you don't, but a hart there, that's not spelled with an A or an E in it. It's H-A-R-T, and it's a deer, a type of a deer. It's not, you know, and I thought that was kind of ironic too, because really the reference really is speaking to the human heart, the H-E-A-R-T, but it's using the heart. I don't know if that's coincidental, but that is a name for a deer, and it talks about this. And so, you know, we can apply it though, having a desire for God. And you know, you don't have to. You take a heart that panteth. It says it panteth, so it's breathing hard is what it is. You know, they run and they got their mouth open. Those, we live in the country, we see deer running sometimes. They've got their mouth open. They've been running a while. You run and you get your mouth is dry. They're panting. They're looking for water. They're going to water to drink. They got to have water because water's life. And so when you think about that, when that deer gets down to the water, you don't have to beg the deer to drink. Right? We got an old phrase because we're hillbillies. We live in the country, you know, the old phrase where you can lead a mule to water, but you can't make it drink. Well, listen, you don't have to beg a thirsty mule to drink. He just automatically drinks, right? He's just gonna drink. That's it. And so, you know, I think when we think about the Laodicean church age, and I spoke about that a few weeks ago, we talk about that church that was complacent. and it was lukewarm. It didn't see any need. As a matter of fact, they said we don't have a need of anything. They didn't see anything. That's not a thirsty church, huh? That's not a thirsty church. And listen, we can lead you here. You can get led here somehow. Whether it's your spouse, your kids, or whatever, you can get led to church. But listen, I can't make you drink. We can lead you down here, but I can't make you drink. But when a person gets thirsty enough, spiritually speaking, see, man, that's when they have to desire satisfaction. We can't get it anywhere else. We desire the satisfaction that comes from God, a spiritual satisfaction. You know, I think some people, they never get it. They go through their whole life looking for satisfaction and looking for that wholeness, that missing link, that's something in their life. They look everywhere under the sun, and they never get to where they realize it's God Himself. It's God Himself. I know that. And we know in the physical world that water is life. I forgot, what are we, two-thirds made up of water, something like that. It's been a long time since I've been in biology, wherever we learned that. But we're mostly made up of water, right? And so it's life. It's important to you. And when you really get thirsty, there's nothing else that satisfies like water. Man, I mean, this is it. I remember, I probably shared this before, but I'll lay it on you in case you weren't here at the time. But my great uncle Howard, his dad lived right down the road, right past where we turn into where we stay in Troutdale at that trailer. And there was an old spring house where their house was. Up on the hill just a little bit, it had an old spring house. You old timers know how the spring house looked. And man, we'd go out there and work in that hay field in the summertime. Man, it's humid as all get out. And my uncle's dad up there by the spring house door, and y'all still probably have one of these. It's one of them old little aluminum pots about that big around, about that thick with the one handle sticking off, like a dipper type pot. You know what I'm talking about? Had one hanging on there, and you'd open the door to that old spring house and chase the salamanders back and dip that thing in there. And it was so hot, and that water was so cold in there that the pot would sweat around. You know, you could see the sweat beads. They look different than just the water from the spring, right? And boy, it was the first time as a kid that I realized that water had flavor. Man, that was so, oh man, I'll tell you what, last year I drove up and down. I was trying to see if I could see the spring house. They built a few houses in there now, if the old spring house was still there. But I'm going to tell you what, nothing satisfied like that. And see that, and that's the way it is spiritually. There's nothing else that's going to satisfy us like the Word of God, like really like God Himself, because the Word of God is, you know, taking us to God. But it's God Himself having. There's nothing going to satisfy that. And it gives us that, you know. And so when the missing link is desire, you know, you got to, like I said, get the old mule to water. If you isn't thirsty, you ain't going to drink. And the reason that we might not be thirsty is sometimes our life is so full of something else. Everything else. We're choking to death on what we're trying to get out of life besides God. You know, we're just filling ourselves with so many things. And I know it's a trick of the devil. You know, the old, we got too many irons in the fire. How many of you are in that? We got too many irons in the fire. You can't keep up with them. Huh? You can't keep up with them. That's just a trick of the devil. Keep you so busy you never have time to think about the things of God, but you're not going to be satisfied. You're just not going to, it's not going to happen. And so we see this. And so that heart panteth after the water brook, huh? Well, let me tell you where we're going to find it. It's the water brook, huh? It's the water brook right here. It's the Word of God. This is called living water, right? The living water. This is it. This is spiritual life. So our source for growth, this is it. It's the Word of God. It is the Word of God. There's no book like this in the whole universe, because in conjunction with the book, the Holy Spirit works. Huh? I mean, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I mean, it is the very Word of God. This is God's Word. This is what we got. We can slice it and dice it and say, well, you know, this word here and that word here. And let me tell you something. God preserved His Word. God preserved His Word, man. I mean, and it's here. We got it. There's nothing. I don't care what translation you get. correct, incorrect, what you got. The doctrines are the same. Some of them got a little perverted down there. There's some weird versions out there, but I'm a King James guy, and that's just the way I'll be. I'm too old to change now, and I like it. I like the way it's written. It's a beautiful piece of poetry right here in my hand, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the Word of God, and it's the very Word of God. It says it about its own self. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration. That word inspiration means it's God-breathed, that God breathed the Word. These guys didn't know a lot of times what they were actually writing down, particularly in the Old Testament. They didn't know what they were writing. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and by the way, the ladies up here particularly don't like to sing, "I want to be that man." So they don't really want to be a man, but mankind, I guess we throw that in there. That the man of God, woman of God, child of God may be perfect. That word perfect, I'm going to talk about that tonight just a little bit, but it means complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished. There it is. Listen, the man of God can be mature. He can be complete unto all good works. Listen, it doesn't happen if you don't stay in the Word of God. It's just not going to happen if you don't stay in the Word of God. And, you know, in those days, and in the Middle East, and in old Hebrew economy, water is more of a precious commodity. It's still just as valuable, but it was scarce, more scarce. That was an arid region, right? And so people built wells. They dug wells. Can you imagine in those days? Even in our time, in our country, there's hand-dug wells. I don't know exactly how, but digging a hole down all the way down through there and putting rocks on the side. And you know what? You were thirsty, getting water to cure your thirst. But think about that, digging wells. But you know what else? What I noticed about that well? They didn't move too far away from the well. See, my Uncle Howard's daddy's, John Sanders was his name. His spring house, you could see it from the house. They didn't live a long way off from the well, right? They wanted to stay by the well because the well was where life was. Why have to go 100 miles with a pot of water on your shoulder? They want to live as close as they could to the well. I'm going to tell you where that applies right here. Here's the well, brother. Here's the water, man. Stay as close as you can to the words of life. This is it, man. This is life for us. The Bible claims to be true and never tries to justify its statements. It never tries to justify its statement. Psalm 19:7, the Bible says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Making wise the simple. So here we have absolute truth. And yet there's more time spent by the average Christian looking at Facebook than the Word of God. Now think about this. I've thought about it. It's just the way it is. And all that, man, we got AI generating more lies on Facebook, and you can shake a stick at, and yeah, there they are, boy. Huh? Masses that blind to what's going on in the world with Satan behind everything, looking at AI generated stuff that's not even true, it's not even real, it's fake, and there's all kind of filth on there, there's all kind of hate on there, and unfortunately some of the Christians are the ones spewing the hate, and there's all kind of a drama that we find on the earth. Here we got the Word of God. We won't spend that much time in the Word of God. Listen, just think about this. If the church spent even as much time in the Word of God as we do on Facebook or TV or internet or whatever you want to put in there, anything else, we would see the greatest transformation in Christianity since the day of Pentecost. I believe that. If all the Christians, if we got in the Word of God every day, man, listen, over the years I've had to train my own self, man. Listen, I can get just as casual and and busy and put offish, you know, like do it later on. Man, I have buckled down over the years, the last few years of my Christian life, and I'm saying, I'm going to get in the Word every day, every morning. I'm going to get the Word before I do anything else. I do get my coffee first, I will say. Push the coffee button, and I get out there, man, and I sit down with my coffee and my Bible first thing, and I'm going to read 2, 3, 4 chapters of the Word of God every day, whether I feel like it or not. I just said, this is what I did. But if we did that, God's people, just think, it's a transformational book. It's a transformational book. But if we did that, it would be the greatest transformation in the church since the day of Pentecost. Honestly, I believe that. We'd be a force to be reckoned with. The Bible claims itself to be alive, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick, that means living, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How's that work? Because the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word of God. It gets you inside. It's the conviction. Listen, conviction doesn't come from the pastor. The conviction doesn't come from me. It comes from God. God's the one that speaks to your heart. And it penetrates our soul and spirit. It judges our thoughts and our attitudes. The Word of God does that. And so, like I say, this is how we get transformed by the Word of God. Cody was all over that thing, ain't talking about it. And I thought, this doesn't work by osmosis. Boy, I'm being transformed by the Word of God. No, it's not going to happen. It doesn't work. Cody says, this is one thing he got I thought was funny. He said, what we have on Sunday mornings is a Bible parade. Everybody got their Bibles and were going on into church. But it isn't doing a bit of good if you don't read it all week long. Amen. Why carry it if you're not going to read it? Why carry it if you're not going to use the Word of God? We got the Bible. It's sitting on the coffee table. Doesn't do a thing for you. It doesn't do a thing for you. You don't learn anything. It's amazing. This is what happens. I found this out over the years. I preach a whole message, have 3-point outline, 4-point, whatever. Most of the time, there's only going to be one thing I'm going to say, every single one of you. There's going to be one thing that sticks in your mind. It's just the way it is, one thing. I've had people tell me, man, that one thing you said, it just got me in the head. It pounded, pounded, pounded. I couldn't get off my mind. They told me what it was. It wasn't a main point, and I don't even remember saying it. But somehow God used it to stick to them. So more than likely, and I tell all the Sunday school teachers this, if you can get your student to learn one thing every class, one thing, 52 weeks, if they came to Sunday school, it'd be 52 things they'd know about God they didn't know when they started the year before. One thing, just one thing. That Word of God, if you read the Word of God, there's something in there. Something in there that is for you, you got to read it. It doesn't, you know, even glancing at just a few passages of a week, I would say that's better than nothing, but that's not what God, that's not reading a love letter, right? That's not reading like you look at a love letter over and over again. Read a Word of God, man. It changes your life. It sounds like I'm out of my mind. But I know I'm not, because the Holy Spirit of God is working. It's like if you take this in like you're thirsting to death. Man, when I first got saved, I remember I just wanted, you know, I've had different things. Oh, this is my favorite Bible. You know, I just started. I told people that first get saved, starting in the New Testament. You get off in Numbers or something, or Leviticus, you'll go out of your mind. You won't know what's going on until you learn it. I'm reading in there now in my regular reading. I'm in Numbers. And I understand a lot more of it. But I said, you know, and I read, man, I remember when I first got saved, man, I sat there and read. I started reading through the Gospels, read through Matthew, read through Mark, read through Luke, John. You know, I started reading that. I had a desire for that. We got to drink the Word of God. And it transforms the way that you think. I've known testimonies all over the place where people said, you know, I used to think a certain way until I started reading the Word of God and about things. And it changed what they thought about it. I can give you an example. I've changed my opinion about a lot of things. It changes the way that you act. And in other words, it won't really be an act, though. It changes the way you live. The way it's life, you know, it changes the way you talk. what you talk about, how you talk, what you say, how you say it, what you don't say. It creates that desire. You remember the old potato chip commercial used to be on? Those of you that are old enough, bet you can't what?
Eat just one.
Man, you remember that, right? Boy, that's a true statement, isn't it? I mean, how many people just open up a bag of potato chips, just get one, roll it back up, and carry that one potato chip out and eat it? Huh? Oh, man, I'm... What happened to that bag of chips? I don't know. Huh? You give me a pack, you give me them crunchy cheese doodle things, man. You better, if you want some, you better get them now. Huh? Why? You know, you think it doesn't, because it's keep craving it, man. Keep craving that, right? We want that. That's what the book does. That's what the Bible, that's what the Word of God. I've had times, listen, I've neglected it, like I said, like everybody else. When I was early, even when I was saved, I wasn't pastoring, I'd neglect the Word of God. But one day it was just, you know what? Man, I need to get in the Bible. Amen. I need to get my Bible out, man. It was dry, man. And then I'd wonder why I didn't feel nothing when I went to church, and why God didn't speak to me when I went to church, and why I just didn't feel like, you know, things were distant and so dry spiritually, and I'm just going through the motions in life. Just, yeah. Y'all know how dehydration works, huh? You know what happens with dehydration? Your kidneys are like a sponge. If you really get dehydrated, they can't absorb the water. It just keeps running through you. See, that's what happens. You get dehydrated in that sense. I think I got something about being dehydrated here in a few minutes. So we see that we have this desire for growth. We have the encouragement to grow as well. You know, in physical life, it's a tragedy. If somebody didn't grow physically, we would, after a while, we would take them to the doctor. We said, something's wrong. I mean, they're alive, they're breathing, they got a heartbeat, they can talk maybe, they can see, they can hear, but they're just not growing physically. There's something wrong with them. It's true. Well, it's a tragedy when somebody doesn't grow spiritually. It's just, it's probably a bigger tragedy. And so for the Christian, you know, we got an old saying around churches, all pastors will say this, that 10% of the people do 90% of the work in churches. 10% of the people, I'm talking about servant, do 90% of the work. You know why? Because 90% of the Christians don't want to grow. They don't want to, or they won't. They don't grow. 90% don't grow. And it's not rocket science. Listen, you can trace it back. You show me a Christian that's not growing, I'm going to tell you two things about them right off the bat. I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to tell you this will be true. They're not reading the Bible. They're not praying. They're not in the Word of God, and they're not praying. I can tell you that if you don't grow spiritually, that is your problem. That's it. It's real simple. It's not magic. It's nothing. 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a command. If you're not growing, you're sinning. Grow in grace. He said he commanded it. That means, guess what? It's just not going to naturally happen. You'll never get enough out of me on Sunday morning, as great as this preaching always is. You'll never get enough out of me to grow. And like you should. I mean, you got to read the Word. You've got to let God speak to you in your own time with the Word of God. And it's not in the amount. There's times I've sat down on in the morning and I want to read. I'm going to read four chapters today. And man, I get two verses in and all of a sudden, man, I start looking at that. And I start digging a little deeper, and I look up the Hebrew word or the Greek word for something, and man, I look and see. I said, this thing's really speaking to me. Man, I want to know a little bit, and that's okay. That's okay. But listen, it should be naturally occurring byproduct of the Christ life. Spiritual growth just should happen, right? You know, old babies, I don't think we train babies to cry for their bottles, do they? Do we? It is natural, right? I mean, they get hungry, what do? They cry. Well, now you're saved. You got the new birth. You're born again, right? Should I have to beg you to drink, to read the Word, to grow spiritually, to have a desire, a thirst for the things of God? Shouldn't have to. Shouldn't be there. If I do, something's going on, and we got to take you to the doctor. We got to take you to the great physician and see what's wrong if that's the case. Hebrews 5:12, the Christians were rebuked because they hadn't grown, actually. He said, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. They've already been taught once at least. which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. He said, in other words, he's saying, I'm paraphrase that down in straight up English. As long as you've been saved, you ought to be teaching the Word of God. But the problem is you don't know enough to teach the Word of God that you have a need to be taught again. You've already been taught, but you didn't listen or you didn't pay attention and you didn't apply it to your life. And you need milk now. We can't give you the meat. Amen. We can't give you the meat. And it amazes me what Christians that have claiming to be saved, and they may be, for years, don't know. What they don't know. It just amazes me. I'm glad to tell them, but I'm thinking in my mind, you ought to know this already. That's not, I mean, it's not really difficult passages and difficult things or principles of the Bible. People don't know. Well, what's the problem? You go back to the time spent in the Word of God and time with prayer. That's where it all boils down to. You don't know because you don't read. You don't read instructions. A lot of people have a trouble with that, and they can't figure out why they got three bolts and a nut left over at the end of the project, huh? And things didn't turn out right. And this thing don't work like it's supposed to. Did you read the instructions? Uh-uh. There you go. Same way with the Word of God, right? And then we see thirsting for growth. That point two, number three, thirsting for growth. You know, like I said, your physical body knows that it can't function without water. And so it creates, we have hunger. And by the way, a lot of people eat when they're not hungry. It's just comfort food and that. But I mean, our body does have hunger and thirst, and it's our body telling us that we have this. And so if you're saved spiritually, if you're a spiritual being, you can't function without that living water, like I said. Now, when I got older, I learned this. When I was young, I look back now, and I think when I was young, first, second, third, fourth grade, I probably lived all of my life in the wintertime dehydrated. I remember having chapped lips so bad that they split and bled. And man, you know, my mom said, well, it's always because you're always licking your lips. Well, no, that wasn't it. Mom, I just wasn't drinking enough water. But, you know, people weren't as health conscious back in those days. Everybody's into it now, right? We know. We know so. But I look back, and man, my lips was always peeling. You could peel, chunk, bleed. Man, and it was uncomfortable. It'd be hot. Your lips would be hot. You wouldn't feel good. I didn't feel good. And I got older, and I started realizing about drinking water. You know, we started going out to Colorado. You know, out there you get dehydrated in a hurry. And, you know, and now I know how it feels. And I can be around there now, right now, this any time now. And I can, haven't drank enough water for the day, and I'll start to feel just a little off. I didn't notice it when I was younger. I didn't know what it was. I just don't feel as good as I could. And I can go in there and I say, you know what, you're dehydrated. And I can go in there and take a bottle of water and drink that water. And before I'm done, I feel better. I start feeling better. I mean, I know exactly what it feels like, but I didn't recognize it before. And I believe that we can get to feeling spiritually bad too. Huh? And people get so desperate, they get so confused. Sometimes it's somebody else's fault, you know, or believe it or not. I know you find this hard to believe. Sometimes people blame the preacher because they don't feel spiritually right. Like it's my fault or whoever the preacher may be, it's our fault. No, it's really not. And they look, they get mad at everything. There's something wrong with the church. There's something wrong with, so-and-so in church. And there's just something wrong with whatever's going on, that, you know, and I got to change this venue. And here's another thing people do. This is another move that Christians make. They get spiritually dry. They get feeling distant from God. So they think, you know, I need to be doing something for God. Now, we should be doing something for God, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're not in the Word every day and you're not in prayer every day, if you're not drinking from the water every day, let me tell you something, all the doing in the world is not going to correct your problem. See, so what it is so they feel, well, I got to do something, man, so I'll feel more spiritual. Oh, preacher, can I start a class? I want to start a ladies' class. I want to teach a Sunday school class. I want to do this. I want to do that. And listen, that is not going to solve your problem. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a great failure because you can't teach a class and you can't do it, start a lead anything if you're not in the Word of God and you're not in prayer. Amen. This is where you've got to be. And so what it is, that, and it never works. It never works. What'll happen, I guarantee you, is what'll happen. They'll get something started, and it won't be sometimes as little as 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes 2 to 3 months, 6 months. It fizzles out, they drop out, they quit because it didn't do what they wanted it to do. And it won't. It won't do it. they're looking for some kind of spiritual feeling, some kind of spiritual growth, and yet they're neglecting the Word of God, they're neglecting prayer, and they're neglecting probably a number one maybe is being obedient. Was you already disobedient if you're not in the Word of God, but they won't be obedient to what the Word of God says. And so it all snowballs down. So get dehydrated. So we got to recognize it. We got to recognize that spiritual dehydration, I guess we could say. I don't believe that we can worship God. It all goes, if you neglect the Word of God and you neglect prayer, you're going to neglect worship. And just because you're here don't mean you're worshiping either. See what I'm saying? If you don't, you can't really have worship if you don't go to the well. You can't have worship if you don't go to the well. The great Bible illustration, the old prodigal son, you know the story about that guy. Boy, he had it made in the shade. Father took care of everything. He was covering all the bills, had all the food. Man, he was a son. And guess what? He decided, hey, I want to go out in the world, give me my money. I'm going out. He wasted his money on riotous living. And then the Bible says this one thing. It says, I came to myself. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, he said, you know what? I'm going to go back to the Father's house. What happened? He recognized his spiritual drought. He recognized his drought that he was in. And he went back. He came to himself. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He began to pant after the things of the Father's house. And he went back. Back to the source. I think there's people out there that hadn't got hungry enough. They haven't got thirsty enough. But the Bible tells me this, that God chastens his own. He chastens those whom he loves. Listen, man, if you can get away from God and get away from the Word of God and getting away from the house of God and get out of prayer and not spend any time in the Word of God and God's not chastening you for that, the problem is it's a salvation issue. Amen. It's a salvation issue. He chastens his own. God cannot, based on his holiness, just let a child of his go unchastened that's out of his will. He can't. He can't do it. You can die of thirst physically. You can die spiritually as well. And then let me give you this last little thing, the impact of growth. You know, growth impacts every area of our life, probably both ways, physical and spiritual. But spiritual growth, man. You'll be pleasing to God. You'll be a maturing Christian. You'll have a significant positive effect on your relationship with everybody else. It'll impact your relationship with your church. It'll impact your relationship with your spouse. It'll impact your relationship as a parent to your children and as a child to your parent. It'll impact your relationship with coworkers that you may work with. You'll have a life that counts. A life that counts. Amen. It all starts with your relationship with God. And this is one thing that I pray for my family. And I pray for this for you guys too, because see, I don't know anybody's heart. And I pray every day for my family, my son, my daughter, my grandkids, that they would have a desire for God. That they would just have a spiritual desire for God. I pray that they would be in the Word. I don't know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, but I think you got to have a desire for God before you're going to get in the Word. And I pray for them to have that desire, that they would be in prayer. I pray for them that they would be in the Word of God. I pray for that every day. That's a specific, definite prayer that I pray for my family and for my church family as well. And all the relationships will be affected from that. But it all boils down to the very beginning thing. Do you have a relationship with God? I asked this question back this past year, I think, in a message somewhere. Do you have a relationship with God, or do you know him, or do you just know about him? Do you know him, or do you just know about him? That's the main thing right there. It all starts there. Man, if I didn't have a desire, a thirst, a craving, and if I didn't have a realization, maybe some kind of conviction that there was something wrong with me spiritually in an area of obedience or disobedience, whatever, then I would have to question my salvation for sure. Listen, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. Sometimes people think, well, man, I'm just like, I've got this sin that I need to deal with. Well, deal with it. Just deal with it. God chastens those whom he really loves. Amen. Well, that's the question today. Do you know God? Do you really just know about God? That's the thing. Thank God that he still convicts us. He still speaks to hearts, that he's still in the saving business. And you know what he tells us? All these things. God doesn't convict somebody to make them feel bad. He does in a way. He doesn't want you to be comfortable in your sin. God never does. He doesn't want you to be comfortable separated from him. He wants you to be uncomfortable about that. He does. But he's not. The main purpose is not to make you feel bad. The main purpose is so that you change. Just like that old heart panting after the water. The purpose is to get you to drink. The purpose is to get you. That's what thirst does, is to get you to drink. And that, so, you know, God is here. He's in the saving business still. And maybe some of the things that aren't created spiritually, maybe the salvation issue may be the point. Maybe you just haven't got to the first step of desiring God. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul, come lead us in invitation time. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today, liberty to preach. And we just pray that these words won't go come back void, and that they'll go and speak to each heart that's here. My prayer is always, Lord, maybe somebody here lost, realize, boy, I'm just not sure, man, I need to get saved and get this matter settled. And so many of us that are saved, that's what happened. Eventually we realized, hey, I just need to call on God to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life, make me what he'd have me to be. I pray if that's someone in that position here today, that they would come down and be saved. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.